Today on a Ouija-aware episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a young child and her aunt decide to play with a Ouija board late one night, they are in for more than just a simple game. They soon find themselves caught up with a dark energy urging murder, and much more. How do they find a way to keep the dark energy at bay and return it back to the board? That story, and much more, today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, that indeed it is. And yes, you can call 24-7 855-853-4802. To share your real ghost stories with us, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. In fact, we've got a contest going on right now where you can win, I believe it's a $500 Amazon card. You can hear the promos on some of the daily ghost story stuff that we got going on there. But yeah, check that out. If you like the program, consider becoming an extra podcast person. To support her, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. There you get access to all of our episodes, the whole archive that's fallen off of iTunes and everything, all of it commercial free, advanced episodes released to you before the general public. You also get the EPP bonus episodes, a lot of other extras there too, and all ad free. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and it's yours at ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. Yes.
How do I enter the contest to get a $500 Amazon gift card?
Well, you leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts, and then you send an email to the address that's in the promo. And I don't have it in front of me right now because I put the promo together quite a while back. I believe it's contest, if I'm correct, at realghoststoriesonline.com, I think. I don't know the promo right in front of me at the second.
I'll take a $500.
I'm sorry. You are not eligible, because you work here. So sorry. 855-853-4802. What?
What's the deal with like all the free food we've been getting?
That has been rather bizarre.
It's like, There's telling us not eat healthy.
There's ghost food going on. So I'm trying to eat healthier, and I can't even escape it. The last 2 days, there's a food chain in this area called Freddy's, and it's like it's a burger ice cream type joint. It's good.
It's almost everywhere, Dad.
No, it's not.
Really?
No, it's not.
Everywhere I've lived, I've always had a Freddy's nearby.
Yes, and you've lived not that far apart from the same areas. So,
Freddy's?
Yeah. So that was on our doorstep yesterday, and it had the receipt. The ice was still in the cup, and we're in a rural area, so I don't feel like somebody just set it down. It would be quite a jog to just set a Freddy's bag down on my front porch. And it had the receipt and whatever it was, DoorDash or something. So obviously they delivered it to the wrong house. And we've had that where our stuff has been delivered to another place. But usually if it's the wrong place, they go back and they get it or something. Today we get home and there's Sonic on our front porch. So somebody's ordering a lot of fast food in our area and not getting it. So, yeah.
Now either they're just forgetting about it. Or they're just ordering a new one.
They're probably ordering a new is my guess. And that's what is going on. But, I mean, that's what we've had to do sometimes, too, where it's just food disappears. And, interesting things. Ghost food. It was going to be like, don't eat it. It's not safe. Again, I'm feeling okay about it right now.
leave us alone. It's delicious.
Yeah. 855-853-4802. Is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. This says, hi, my name is Crystal. I'm 39 years old. Sorry if this is so long. I've written you in the past. So here it goes. I'll try to keep the events in order. When I was a young child, my aunt lived in northern Michigan. We went up there to visit her and my cousin for Christmas. I remember on the way up there, it was nighttime and the moon was huge that night. And I saw a face in the window. I felt dread right after that. Well, that night, we slept downstairs by the tree with my cousins. I woke in the middle of the night to see an apparition of a black man walking up the stairs. My brother saw him as well. Side note, when I was in my 20s, my aunt confirmed what I saw and said her and my mom had seen the same man walk literally through the door. Well, I've always been petrified of the dark. Even now, it scares me. My second experience was when my grandfather passed away. I'd hear his walker moving around upstairs at night. My grandmother was already asleep. I went and checked, and his walker had not moved. Then my mom moved us to another place in Michigan. We rented a house, and I remember there was a spirit there named Harry. He talked to me at times. Him, I couldn't see. I just sensed when he was around and heard him. After my mom had her house built and we moved, she told me the name of the landlord's father's name had passed in the house that we rented. It didn't have anything else to happen to me until I ran away to another area to be with my father's son. That night, we were done playing with a Ouija board, and my son's father put a Bible under it. Yes, that just made matters worse. The plant chat wouldn't move. The Bible was removed. All the Ouija board said over and over was "Kill John," my son's father's name. The planchette went flying across the room and the glass piece popped out. My apartment was connected to the apartment we did this in the middle of the night. I swear to this day, my grandfather came to me yelling to get out of that apartment. I followed his instructions because he was very serious. At the time I was messing with Wicca, I went to the neighbor's apartment where everything took place. I don't know what they did, but they were able to burn the board. I had no problems after that. And I got to apologize. I think this was a letter that has been sent in more than once. When I go through things, I was pulling from emails the other day, and I'm assuming that this was also submitted through our website at the same time. So I apologize for that. But still an interesting story nonetheless.
Don't play with the Ouija board, kids.
Mm-hmm.
That should be like the main lesson of the show. Like, don't play with the Ouija boards. That could be a great podcast, actually.
That's kind of what this podcast is, actually.
Well, it's not all Ouija boards, Dad.
Not all Ouija boards, but I think we cover the topic in great detail. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that you could do all Ouija all the time. I suppose someone could. I think that would get a bit much. Because you want to hear more than just Ouija stories, you know?
And on today, this Ouija story is the exact same like the other.
It's like, it kind of is how a lot of them go. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Harper, Tony, and Carol. This is Angel Damien from Dallas, Texas. I'm calling because I wanted to show my paranormal experience that happened to me back in 2004-2005. Can't really remember what year it was, but it was around that time. I was 14 going on 15, and the new movie The Grudge just came out, and before I watched the movie, my mother had always told me to be careful what I watched or what I listened to, because it could bring spirits or bad energy into the house. So that following day, I went to go get the movie The Grudge, and I watched it with my brother. And, of course, after I watched it, that night I couldn't sleep. It really scared me. So the next morning, I felt okay, still afraid of that movie, but, you know, during daytime you feel better. My brother wanted to go for a walk, and I said no, but he was so persistent that I started to get anxious. So that following day, I had really bad anxiety. I started hyperventilating. I couldn't breathe. I called the ambulance, and it was just crazy from there. So after that incident, that following week, I could not sleep. I had trouble sleeping. I had trouble eating. I had trouble just leaving the house. And when I left the house, I would start to cry. I didn't want to go anywhere. Well, after that, when I was staying inside my house, I remember my mom got the internet going, and I remember to help me with my anxiety, I would play on the internet, and that would help me with my anxiety. Well, one night, I remember I felt this dark energy around me, and this is before I started seeing stuff. One night I was on the internet and I just felt this energy around me. And on the side of the computer, there was a cup of pencils and pens. You know how people put pens and pencils just to keep their writing things? So I did that. And so I felt this energy. And when I looked on the right side of me, I saw this dark shadow hovering over me. And at the same time, I was scared, but at the same time, I got mad. I took that cup of pens and pencils and I threw it at the shadow and it instantly went away. And after it went away, it felt great. I didn't feel anxiety anymore. So I thought that would end. I thought my anxiety was gone. 2 weeks later, I'm still dealing with anxiety. My mom cannot help me get to sleep. And they say when you have anxiety, you have a safe person. Well, my mom was my safe person. She always helped me. So during that 2 weeks, when she was trying to get me to sleep, my mom called my grandma, and my grandma told me to start listening to Christian music. So I remember I had a blue CD player. My grandmother gave me a CD of Nicole C. Mullen. It was Christian music, and my mom would play it for me every night. And it helped me. It didn't help instantly, but it did help me. So when I finally got to go to sleep, I felt great, but of course that didn't help it go away. The following after that, I remember for some reason I couldn't sleep in my bed. So I asked my mom, hey, can I sleep with you in your room? And mind you, I'm a teenager. I'm like I said, 14 or 15. So I thought it was kind of funny asking my mom if I could sleep in her room with her because, you know, I'm old enough. But she said, no, it's okay. Of course you can. So my mom had a small bed at the time, so I said, can I sleep on the floor? And she said, yeah, that's fine. So I slept on the floor, and I remember sleeping. I don't remember what my brother saw, but my brother said that when he saw me, when he got up to go to the bathroom, he saw me sleeping on the floor in my mom's room, and he said that he saw a dark entity crawling towards me on the floor. And like I said, I was asleep, so I wasn't aware of anything going on. But he told us this the next morning. So I asked my brother more questions about it, and he just said that he saw a dark entity. And my brother was never one to be sensitive to the paranormal. And my brother, he experiences anxiety like I do, but never the severity of it like I do. So after that night, my brother started seeing stuff, and the things that he started seeing, I never saw. He started seeing, entity of a man, and I don't remember what the man's name was, but I remember my brother recalled saying that he saw this man drowning a little girl in the bathtub in the same apartment that we were living in. And we've never lived in an apartment that had such paranormal experience. And so my brother started seeing stuff. So that's when I knew that this apartment was haunted. So my mom started praying. She threw holy water and holy salt and everything. So while that was going on, it was so weird. I remember praying, Father, please help me get rid of this entity. Please help me with my anxiety. It was so weird. So a week after praying for that, I went to McDonald's because I was meeting with my friend. And where I live in Dallas, Texas, you know, it's a city. There's a lot of Mormons and people that come to your door selling Bibles, you know, telling you about God. Well, anyways, I was in McDonald's and I was minding my own business. And at the time, I didn't have anxiety and it wasn't even on my mind. Well, I was sitting at the table at McDonald's. These two young guys walked in and they were Mormon. They came up to my table and they said, for some reason, God told us to speak to you. He told us to give you this. And I thought it was weird because, like I said, I prayed that he would give me an answer or, you know, some help to get rid of my anxiety. So the two young guys gave me a CD and they said, God told me to give you this and he told me that it will help you. So later that day, I went home. I put the CD in my blue CD player, and it was talking about a guy that was in the hospital. He was sick. He was dying. I can't remember what he was dying from, but he was dying. And he said while he was dying, he started to see these black figures come into his room. And he said that he was never religious. He never really believed in God. But he said as he started to see these black figures come into his room, he remembered calling out to Jesus to help him and to, you know, help him, because he said that he sensed that these dark figures were coming to take him to hell because he was a disbeliever. And he said when he was calling out Jesus, these dark figures were calling out to him, disbeliever, disbeliever. But he said the more that he called out to Jesus, the more he started to believe that Jesus was there for him. And while he was doing that, he said that he saw a bright light. And he said that he saw Jesus. And Jesus took his hand and saved him. And so from there, he was a believer. So that CD, when I was listening to it, it helped me in some way. It made me keep my faith and to keep believing in God and just to keep praying. Now, after that, which I thought was weird, it was about a week after that, I continued to listening to that CD over and over because it did help me. But it was so weird because, like I said, a week after that, I was watching TV and there was a commercial that popped up. It was about a lady that had severe anxiety, and she was selling a CD, a complete series of CDs that helped people with anxiety. And something told me to buy that. So I told my mom, I got the number, I wrote the name down, the name or number down, and I told my mom, and my mom bought it for me, and that whole CD helped me. It was explaining what anxiety was and how it helps people to, you know, the CDs will help people to cope with it and to deal with it. And also, before I bought those CDs, that same CD that the Mormons gave me, it was a CD about demonic oppression. And so I believe that demonic oppression came from watching the movie The Grudge. And so from then on, I still continued to watching horror movies, but I became more mindful and more, more aware of it. I didn't really understand the severity of spirits and demons until then. And before that whole, you know, before I got anxiety and before I started experiencing those paranormal events, when I was 10 or 11, this is the first time I saw something. We also lived in an apartment that was not too far away from that same apartment that had the paranormal events that I was telling you about. The first thing I saw, I remember there was a two-bedroom, and no, I'm sorry, I wasn't 10 or 11. I was maybe 8 or 9, and at the time, my brother and I shared a room, and I remember my brother went into my mom's room. Her room was down the hallway, and I remember I was in my room by myself, and I wanted to talk to my mom and brother, and there was the dark hallway. The living room and the hallway was dark, but my mom's room was down the hall. Her light was on. My light was on. I remember walking into the hallway, and before I stepped out, I sensed something. And right when I looked, there was a red figure that ran right by me, ran right across from me in the hallway, and it scared me. So I remember going to my mom's room that same day, and I told her what had happened. And she prayed, and she said, you know, Angel, you are the light. You, my mom calls me the light. She calls me, serenity, because I just possess this, you know, this vibe about me that is light. And I recently listened to your podcast. One of the recent episodes that you had, it was about that guy that said, how, you know, when you're the light, the darkness knows that and they will continue to send forces. So I just believe that no matter how many times I pray, and no matter how many times I go to church and keep my vibration raised, that the dark forces will always come and try to belittle me, try to manipulate me, and try to overpower me. So over the years, I've gotten better with anxiety. I still have panic attacks, but not as to the extent like I used to. I don't hyperventilate and I don't freak out like I used to. I'm able to control it better. But yeah, so that's when I first started getting anxiety and seeing paranormal things. And recently I've had paranormal activity, not really seeing anything, but sensing things. I believe that I could still, I can't see them like full physically. I could sense that a presence is there. But these apartments where I live in now, I believe that there was some bad things going on. And now that I am older, I am now 32 years old, I still experience paranormal activity and anxiety. But yeah, that was when I really started to experience the paranormal, like really started seeing stuff, is when I watched the movie The Grudge. So when they tell you to be careful what you watch and what you listen to, really believe that and listen to it, because it's true. It affects your mind. It can alter your reality if you let it. And it's true. If you are the light and you are a very positive person, the dark forces know that and they will always continue to work against you. But yeah. And so from after that, I haven't really seen anything. The last time I saw something was back in, I want to say maybe 2014. And it wasn't, I didn't really see anything like of a ghost or spirit. It was just like the paranormal to where you could sense something when, so I wouldn't really consider it maybe paranormal, more like psychic. I believe that I'm not a medium, but I'm a, I don't know what they call it. I could sense spirits and I could see them every now and then, but sometimes I could, oh, I guess it's called a clairvoyant. I could sense things before it happens. I've had incidents to where I could sense death, or that death was in the air and then it happens. But as for seeing paranormal, like spirits or ghosts, I haven't had that happen since 2014. In 2014, my wife and I moved to Texas from Vermont, and I remember we were laying down and we were getting ready for bed, and I was fine. I wasn't scared or anything, and I just remember this dark overcoming feeling just came over me, and I just remember seeing like this white shadow hovering over me, and it really scared me. I started crying, and I'm normally not a crying person, but I started crying. I told my wife and I told my mom, and they prayed over me. And before I knew it, the entity was gone. The energy was gone, and I felt more comfortable and lighthearted. I didn't feel scared anymore. But yeah, I apologize if my story is all over the place, but those were my paranormal events. And I just want to say that I'm a big fan of your podcast. I've been listening for over a year now, and I'm planning on becoming a EPP member, and I just love listening to your stories, and I just hope that this story helps someone, if it makes it on there, to be more mindful of, you know, what you watch and what you listen to, and be careful what you put your mind to, because it really can alter your reality and become your reality if you let it. But that's my story. Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. It's interesting that, you know, he feels like it was this movie that that kind of opened himself up to it. I think an individual has to have something going on where they're already open to something happening, and I don't know what it may be. Sometimes it's a trauma, sometimes it's a this, sometimes it's a that. But I think the recipe has to be just right for something like that to happen through. And I don't think it's naturally the movie either. I think there's something where there's already something there. The movie may trigger something. but I don't believe that just watching the show or the movie is what causes it. But, you know, I can see where he's coming from and why he would interpret it that way. And it's all up for debate. It's conjecture, but it's my opinion.
So, to put it into justification, whenever you have paranormal problems, don't watch The Grudge. Buy a whole bunch of random CDs and always go to McDonald's.
Are you just trying to say, like, do happy things or what?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. It's interesting because just earlier tonight when we were driving home, I was telling Harper about an interview that I have coming up on The Grave Talks. And it involves a person that was featured in a very well-known horror movie that hasn't really talked to many people at all.
Can we say
no?
Who
we
it
can't.
Is?
No, we can't. No, that's why. See, this is what I'm doing. I'm going around it, and then you're like, "Can we just say what it is?" See, this is where you just kind of got to play along with it be like, "Yeah." And if I'm not dropping it, then you're not dropping it.
Okay.
So that's how that works.
New lessons for Harper.
Yes. But I said, remember when we watched that movie and that the guy that was in it that did this that?
Yeah.
And I said, I just talked to a friend of mine who was involved with that case and in the real case. And we're working on trying to get that set up for a conversation over on The Grave Talks, which I'm really excited about. That's all I'm going to say for now. But it's a well-known movie. It's a character that hasn't said much. But it looks like we're probably going to have a really interesting conversation soon on The Grave Talks. Stay tuned. I'll promote it over here too, so everybody knows about it. We got a lot of really good interviews coming up on The Grave Talks. I'm not trying to promote the other show at all. I mean, I guess I am, but I'm just making note. If you have not checked out the other show, The Grave Talks, please do. Go press subscribe. Just search The Grave Talks for every download podcast. And that's where it's me and I'm interviewing people and having conversations. I don't even like saying interviewing. It's more like just a laid back conversation about ghosts. It's usually about the person I'm interviewing because I want to hear their life story and our first interviews. And then sometimes on repeat guests, we get into specific cases and things like that. But so many interesting things coming up on that. I'm really excited. I got Tony Spera coming up. I just talked with another member of Nesper the other day. That's who is helping me contact this other individual. So it's in the realm of the Warrens. I'm really excited. There's another one I'm working on involving an exorcist from a very famous case that saw some crazy, crazy stuff. And this is a modern day one. The archive is tremendous as well. One of my favorite interviews that we have on there is with Laura DiDio, who was one of the reporters back at the day of the Amityville Horror. And she actually went through the house with Ed and Lorraine in the famous psychic slumber party and was going with the Warrens through that whole thing. Sitting down, having dinner with them after they went and investigated. It was just such an interesting interview to hear the perspective of what were those nights like? Because Ed and Lorraine aren't around anymore to talk about it. And she was one of the only other people there that, was still around to really speak about how everything went down. And that's one of my favorites. It's over there. Who else have we had? Our friend in Florida.
The guy that was the jailmate to
Ronnie DeFeo.
Yeah,
that was an interesting one, but I also want to call some BS on that guy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I guess you do enough drugs and stuff throughout your life. You're going to be a little bouncy on your timeline on things. But there was some of that where I'm just like, I don't know what I believe, but he was recommended to me by another friend of ours who is a good guy, but even said, he's kind of a nut, but it was interesting. Andrea Perrin has been on many a times. Obviously she's one of the children from The Conjuring, or maybe not obviously, the real life Conjuring. In fact, me and Harp even had lunch with her and her dad when we were down vacationing in Disney last year.
Very nice people.
Oh yeah, it was a great conversation. And that was off the air. That was just us hanging out as friends. But do check it out. I'm just really getting excited about some of these interviews we got lined up. And I'm really trying to dig into that show more. It's been a crazy couple of years for us. And the show has been going good, but I haven't had the most time in the world to like devote to trying to tackle down some interviews. And I'm really kind of putting some more effort onto that. And it's starting to pay off. So check it out over at thegravetalks.com or search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts.
Can I be on The Grave Talks?
Probably not yet. I don't really know what would you
want to be there for the interview.
Well, you mean I thought you meant you wanted to be a guest on The Grave Talks.
I want to be a co-host.
There's no co-host on that show.
Really?
It's just me.
Just you talking about kind of...
Well, it's just me talking to the guest. The guest is kind of like the co-host.
Okay, can I be the guest then?
I don't know that you have enough stories yet to be a guest, honey.
Well...
But you know what? Someday you can interview me for The Grave Talks.
Well, I already know you too well.
Well, yes, you know me, but it's like...
Everyone already knows you. Yeah. You have your own show.
That's true.
So,
but it'd be kind of interesting someday.
No, kind of... Nah.
So if I'm like old and dying and I'm like... Do an interview with me on The Grave Talks, Harper. You know, you run it all now.
I
don't care, Dad. Nobody, they already forgot about you. It's my world.
No.
Is that how it's going to go?
I will build a statue for you at Tony headquarters. No, it's not a place, but I will make it a place.
I want a statue up on top of our pool ledge, and it's me peeing into the pool.
I think you get arrested for public nudity.
No, but it's not exposed at all. It's like, it's just like I'm wearing swim trunks and it looks like the trunks, like I'm having an accident. It's just kind of dripping down the leg. There's nothing exposed about it. That's the funny part where it's like, like what's going on there? It just looks like he's peeing in the pool. That's all.
That's awesome.
Be the most unique statue in the world depicting
and
that.
And then have like a slide coming out of your trunk.
Oh, God. No. Yes. No. Not like Goliath-sized statue.
Yeah. That's exactly how do it.
Wow.
It'd be ginormous.
Wouldn't that be disturbing for the future Perskis of the world?
The like, ghost of tears.
Like, we know Grandpa was kind of a weird guy, you know? he insisted on having this statue of him peeing in the pool, but it's like just dripping down his shorts. And it
just looks like he's wet, honestly.
Yeah, that's great.
Weird person, Grandpa.
Yeah. Like, yeah, kids, ghosts. You're going to college because of ghost stories, you little asshole.
You can't say that.
Yeah, I can't. There you go. All right, that's going to wrap up today's interesting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Sign up, like I said, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. We greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.